interrupting a current neo-uranial, climate-changed, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 518. Nothing else we can do but watch as a spectator sport, I suppose, right? But being free is not a spectator sport. We've heard it throughout history. We have to engage the tyrant. You have to stop oppression. Probably our major calling, stopping oppression. And it's just being ramped up. War against us is being ramped up. There's just no way around it in every sector. However, we can focus in. The main crux of our problem in a society is monetary. So we can just look right there. We can see the agenda's written. It's already a plan. They're going after you. They're going to do it by transferring what you thought was money into an obligation to some third party, as I've been talking about in the CBDC thing, the central bank digital currencies. It's a relationship change to a third party with a liability they claim that you are now obligated to express correctly. And this is the transformation of your society. But before we get to all that and how this thing works out and the weaponization of our world, essentially, we may call this broadcast the weaponization of democracy. The pseudo-governments that have risen up around us. This interesting little story, and this kind of got me worried a little bit. It took 12 years to completely map a baby fruit fly's brain. The takeaways here on this story is this week's scientists from Johns Hopkins University and the University of Cambridge announced they'd completed a 12-year-long effort to map the brain of a baby fruit fly. Remember who these folks are, folks, and your human status, and what they think of you, and what they don't think about you. Because the fly shares some genetic and biological foundations with humans, scientists hope it can bring some insight to lingering mysteries of the human brain. If you want to understand something as big and complicated as the brain, it's best to start small, really small. And to that statement, folks, all I got to say is, I think they're on to me. Better go find a place to hide. More small-brained activity here. Senate passes resolution to end COVID emergency in a largely symbolic vote. Do I need to read more? They did this, and they're going to go ahead and pass it. It seems to be interesting how the apparent two parties, which is the uniparty, can get together in certain places. The Senate does pass, even though they didn't want to before, just recently, to stop the so-called COVID coronavirus pandemic, which is not really a coronavirus. I won't get through all of it. They just voted to end the emergency nationally and out touted a representative to show how they had done good work for everybody, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Today, the GOP-led House sent a resolution to Joe Biden's desk to officially end the COVID-19 state of emergency. My response to her, if you should understand how this really works, is how people take credit for something they really had no right to take credit for, and it shows that they also didn't have authority to do the thing in the first point. If you've been listening behind the woodshed, or you've done any study on your own, you know where the power was relative to a health emergency. My response to her, that the House had sent, touting the like there's a political party issue, that the House had sent a COVID-19 state of emergency bill to end it, I respond, COVID-19 is fraud. Void ab initio. It never lawfully existed, but for aiding and abetting of public officials derelict in the duty to obey local communicable disease law. Congress destroying evidence of the crime did no one except DOD and Pharma. The P's are silent here, folks. DOD and Pharma, any favor. Op hindsight 2020. So they're taking credit for something they had no authority over from the beginning, ending something that was a fraud. And this is what you have to start looking through when you're looking at these so-called party discussions about who's doing what for whom. This is just a big Kobe swindle cover-up. At any rate, for the most of us, for those of you who had to deal with it, the national side is done, which means all of the reparations that they're paying for y'all through Covey swindle and all the destruction of the economy is going to stop for those of you that are on or have participated in, or continue to participate in anything, the health matters, the benefits from the government. Those are all going to start cutting off. So your life now becomes a little bit more less right. And they don't do it from the bottom up. They try to manage from the top down. It doesn't work that way. But anyway, so your Covey swindle is essentially over on the emergency level, but it was a fraud. And so frauds are voided ab initio from the beginning. As I was showing you from before the beginning, and that's exactly what the ab initio actually applies to. Before it gets started, it's void. Enough there. I guess it's a public service announcement. You can take off your masks, folks, now. Another interesting test of the small-brained folks in the nation, and this is what I've been talking about for years and years, of how they come and bring something forward. They get everybody clamoring for some, by some fearful measure that you need to protect yourself. And it really, when they get everybody all feverishly supportive, and you see this going on with between the both parties, you see that it covers a bigger assault, a bigger oppression. And so, again, the weaponization of the democracy as we see this. See, I think whether they want to admit to it or not, and nobody, again, the Twitter will not respond to me on these points, whether in agreement, in opposition, or just as an observation, just here's some information. Zero. There's a weaponization of this system we call, you know, the United States, and what we thought was a government. It's a governance anymore, and I don't even know if it's that, because of the continuity of government condition, it seems, that's running this place. And then everybody can take credit underneath it. That the Restrict Act has popped up. Restrict Act is an Orwellian censorship grab disguised as an anti-TikTok legislation. So, well, they got everyone clamoring over TikTok. And it went global, too, as well. So you see, again, be careful on noticing, or be careful to notice. When it goes global, like Covey Swindle did, there's something else up. It's literally the globalism going on. There's sections and parts being brought together over time. The Restrict Act, introduced by Senator Mark Warner, which you'll see in this link, who is against, an opponent of free speech. And he's a Democrat out of Virginia, it says here. The Tom Thune, a Republican of South Dakota, the Uniparty, is aimed at blocking or disrupting transactions and financial holdings linked to foreign adversaries that pose a risk to national security. So in this first sentence, you see they're going to come in with a big giant blanket and attach it to everything. You don't even need to read really the text of the bill, but I suggest you do. So you see how this Uniparty is bringing underneath another fear, an existential threat. When you bring up national security, it's existential threats. They claim here. Then you can tell, you don't even have to read the bill anymore. You know that it's usurping something that you thought you possessed. The risk of national security, however, the language of the bill could be used to give the United States government enormous power to punish free speech. And when you look at this, again, it's the weaponizing of things. These bills and how they do this came to my attention back in 2013. You've got a bunch of lawyers, you've got a bunch of lobbyists, you have a bunch of, well, eventually it goes back to lawyers, law school people, all writing these bills, putting them in, handing them to the representatives who have an agenda, and they get the pieces they want into legislation, and then they pass them, and it's the destruction of your way of life. Warner, a longtime opponent of free speech, who, as Michael Krieger pointed out in 2018 and confirmed in the Twitter files, pushed for the weaponization of big tech, crafted the Restrict, the R-E-S-T-R-I-C-T Act, to, quote, take a swift action against technology companies suspected of cavorting with foreign governments and spies to effectively vanish their products and shelves of app stores when the threat they pose gets too big to ignore. So I guess your free speech is not too big to fail here, folks, as they continue, these uniparties move in, take credit, and move on to do what they want you, you expect them to do, when they're not doing anything at all. It's fraud up front. What you're going to look at more directly here is that the tech companies become you. And so this is another one of those bills I keep telling you about that comes in. It sounds right. Oh, we go after TikTok. Oh, it's a big China. See, China becomes the big threat now. None of these folks on the globalism side are a threat. They're all in it together. So we got to be really a better mind in societies generally about how these people in don't know how they got there, folks, but there's a mental illness, I suspect, and we saw a little bit about that going on in the most recent shooting. You start finding out these people are mentally hurt, they're mentally ill, they're abused somehow, they need different help. But they're used as, again, a cover. But more to this point, the weaponization of democracy, if you will, is happening. The Democrats seem to be on the leading edge, although I see backhandedly, you see that the Republicans take credit for fixing things. And they don't have authority, one. In fact, they're all derelict. That they expected that they could do that to end the COVID swindle without going after all the people that were derelict in their duty, committed of the highest breach of public trust. And in my estimation, because they wake war on the laws, they did not follow any of them. And they all witnessed the crime, and then they're all aiding and abetting as a misprision of the felonies. They're all derelict, committed a public trust breach, and they're all committing high treason. Now, I say that on the Twitter, and it gets crickets. So I must be pretty much correct, otherwise someone would come back and tell me, no, that's not right, here's how they have a right. Nobody does that. And I wouldn't suspect that they did. I've been doing this for a long time, folks. And you could, too, and some of you are. Some of you are going through with me and noticing all these different things, and you realize it's a whole different battle than what most people will step up to. One of the battles, and one of the things I did suggest that was executed incorrectly, was going to your representatives in the big houses and persuade them. Apparently, someone was listening, and they actually set up most people because people don't think it through. I was given a video of somebody who is resisting, in this case, the mask thing in a court. But no one understands how to set up themselves as protect themselves, whether it was anything I've ever said, understanding what a false imprisonment is, understanding how to get around a contempt of court charge, understanding how to answer the COVID swindle impositions of treatments without referring to the local communicable disease law, the habeas corpus. I've explained all of this, that nobody I notice in the country has these in their mind to set themselves up for success. But you can be led into a trap, not you, any one of you, just generally, and we saw that in the J6, but we saw the weaponizing of by the Democrats of the system. Now, this was pointed out to us in another piece of news, a notice to us. McCarthy and Jordan, this was back in May of 2022, that were saying that the Democrats were weaponizing the January 6th committee. So we have to wait a long time here before we get to see what really happened there. And in fact, one of the characters that agreed to had to do a plea bargain because there's just no justice. The courts have said a plea bargain is good enough, even though you're looking at a 98 or worse conviction rate against you in jurisdictions that could care less about really protecting the defenses and your rights. The January 6th prisoner in the Democrat weaponization of their commission and their Congress against people of what they believe to be another party, supportive of another party, released. The J6 prisoner released from federal prison. And then it says, look where he's going now. The shamanistic journey that began at the nation's capital is reportedly headed for the desert next. According to the multiple reports, including the UK Daily Mail and KTVK, Jacob Chansley, perhaps better known as the QAnon shaman, has been released from prison 14 months early and will be moved to a halfway house in Arizona. Now, you can read the rest of the story. He had a lot more time to do. And they did a calculation, and this is what's interesting about this story, about how they were able to release him conveniently just after someone like Elon Musk states that he should be released, just conveniently after it's exposed that the J6 weaponized Congressional committee did not know and did not show a lot of video evidence that would have been exculpatory. So there's a continuation. These first tabs are notices to us of the continuation of the news. The notice to us, as I bring it to you, and show how it's all incorrect, and we need to get through that and start to look at the more important things that's going to keep us from these issues. This gentleman, it gets released, and I could read, there's interesting things stated in here. However, I won't do that. It's the fact of the weaponization of our government against the people. And this guy gets released coincidentally, died suddenly, to certain other actions. And no one understands. They just take it as a chip on their shoulder and foments the wrong response out of it. But here we have a response, an interesting response, where this gentleman is released. Again, he looked like in the videos, early on, I'm not talking about now, early on when this thing happened, I was looking at looked like they were on a tour of the White House, of the Capitol, excuse me, by the cops themselves, that I didn't understand why this thing was a thing at all. And then, again, we get back to the theater, all right? So that's what I talked about last week a bit. And we see the weaponization of everything you know. And I just found this word popping up this week. Maybe it's the first, I don't know why I haven't seen it before. It has been in the works before, but it seems to all come together in a lot of these stories I was just been talking about, how we have to start understanding what the real, it's a theater, and we have to understand how not to be in, essentially, if we cannot be in the theater, that'd be great. But we have a problem because those people are running down our lives, taking up our time, and they're destroying our ways of life. We have to stop that. That's an oppression that, if we look at the objective basis, what I call the black and white, the law, it's not supposed to be running like this. And there's no accountability. And when you didn't have an accountability, that law does go away. And then it becomes more important that you have to use it in order to, because it's the only objective basis left. You're dealing with a bunch of mentally ill cases that have somehow gotten into power. And they don't have a way, you can't talk, you can't argue with irrationality. It's just, there's no way to do it. So the only thing you can do is mutually accept a body of authority and in mass mutually affect that authority locally, as I've been saying, because I don't know how you do this on the national stage, where you have also the weaponization, as I've been talking about, of the internet and things like YouTube and TikTok, where we find the cognitive weaponization, the cognitive attack, that's the warfare that's done by the military. Weaponization e-girls, how the U.S. military uses YouTube and TikTok to improve its image. Interesting observation. Part of this, I don't even understand. I've never heard of this stuff, but here it comes in the news to tell you that it's something. Amidst falling approval ratings, the lack of recruits, the Pentagon has chosen a new tactic, viral TikToks made by PSYOP agents. So I've been talking about this, and here it is right in the news. Here's a pretty girl in a skimpy bikini who, interestingly, changes, and she's a PSYOP agent herself, and everybody knows it. It's not even hidden. Who appeals to, well, I guess I would say mostly men, to induce them to accept the military. And she gets to talk in a fairly free sense, so she almost can't insult the military in however she wants to describe it, even if she's trying to be insultive a bit. And it's again, we see military weaponizing and the internet of the body of things, the internet of the battlefield of things. It's in the news. It's happening. Democracy's weaponized. And we have to be aware of all these pitfalls, potentials. Those of you that are subject to this idea that a pretty girl can talk and you will listen, to me is no different than any other thing that someone figures out in anyone that they're suspect to and then promotes that to them. Why it's so dangerous about the data collection. They can just tailor information to you that you're receptive to. And they use everything, all this information, this data, to do that to you. So we have another reference to the military trying to promote itself in time, hard times. They can't really get people. Good. There's your voting with your feet. You're not showing up. That's one of the methods of how you defeat this. We stop giving it our energy. We stop engaging it. We may speak out about it, I suppose, but be careful to speak out in the wrong ways. You empower it. So there's a real fine line on how this works and what needs to be done. And then, I suggest talking to local officials. If you can talk to federal officials, great. If you can get their ear, if you will, great. Do it. If you can persuade them, do it. Do it as I'm suggesting, with the facts, with the law, show the objective basis, be able and be ready to fight any attorney that might come in or special interest that show that their position is incorrect. I've done this. I've done this through other people, so I know it's possible. Do it. That's one of the methods. It's a little bit longer. But if you don't do it, and this is the thing, silence is no option here. If you don't do it, these things move along. They spent a lot of time to make a bill that said they were going to end COVID swindle instead of saying they found, if it's a Republican Party protecting you, if they're interposing themselves on your behalf, they would say COVID swindle was a swindle. It's actually COVID swindle, not COVID-19 pandemic. They would explain that, and they would end it for that reason. They had no right to appropriate money for a fraud. No, this is a bigger agenda, and they're all in on it. And if they're ignorant, they're all in on it. That's the whole problem. And they're not stopping it. And so we have to understand where this is. So the Military is putting a pretty girl soldier in your eyes, for those of you that are interested, to induce you. This is that they're going to do this is about certainly just about perception management, the weaponization of this, the instrumentalities of your government, the governments. It does not in the United States, not just the Pentagon. So I'm saying that in the United States and, you know, every other country doesn't, who listened, who will tune in. It's happening in your country, maybe even worse. And you probably already know that. I'm not saying anything new. It's the problem is how do we not necessarily stop it. We can ignore it. That would stop it for us. Each one of us. We have to spread the word about that part. And that's why I just do this broadcast to say, here, look at this and then look at how you're going to avoid it. Because it's not helping us. Not helping us at all. Just like, again, the weaponization over and over. Weaponization of the justice system has now come up. One party so-called is going after another party. There's real consequences at that point for who makes these decisions. But I'm trying to show you, it doesn't matter who's in the decision. Whether you commit the crime against the people or whether you pretend to relieve the crime that didn't have a right to exist, don't go after stopping it. You're still committing a crime, an oppression against the people. And at some point, enough has to be enough. People will have to stop that long train. Men and women have to step up somehow and stop that long train of abuse. It's historic. Known that men and women will endure a long train of abuses and usurpations. Where have we heard that? It's right in the documents of our founding, right? The founding of the United States. It's just a mankind nature that's exploited. The train of abuses. How long a train of abuse is acceptable? I think we're given plenty of railroad track here to see everywhere has become a train of abuse, a weaponization, if you will, against us. And my question has been, when do you decide to derail that train for you? I offer lots of different ways to try and do that. It's not so simple. I hear lots of people want to tell me what their answer is. And if you think it through, it doesn't work. I don't care how read people might think they are. There's no actual application for all the so-called knowledge that they might have from everything that they've read, everything that they've done. And they find that out really fast, from my experience, over a couple decades now. People find that out real quick when they have to deal with the reality of these mentally ill people in positions of office and decision. The weaponization now moving in through the justice system. I don't think there's a justice system, but this is how it's promoted. And people come to take credit or to try to make a point for themselves because they have a higher aspiration. The theater that I was talking with last week, we're talking about the Trump theater, explain how that was supposed to go. We see evidence exactly that's what it's going to go, and he knew this. But I told you about DeSantis, it probably would have been good to keep his mouth shut. Well, he comes back up. The jury did come in and apparently indict Trump. However, they did it on a secret indictment, and nobody yet knows at this point, and I won't know here until next week what it might be, on what those charges might be. The secret indictment is an interesting tool and tactic. So, not sure what that ends up being, but without knowing any of this stuff, and everyone's making an opinion about what's going to happen here. Florida will not extradite, Trump governor says. DeSantis has slammed a Soros-backed Manhattan prosecutor and his political agenda. The point that he was making was that, and why he was going to restrict Florida's integration with an extradition order at a state level, which shows you the power of the state as well. Whether it's right or wrong, I'm not going to say at this point. I've said before, let the wheels of justice turn. Trump has his answers. And we start to see that right here. The statement is made that the weaponization, he says, of the legal system to advance a political agenda turns the rule of law on its head. It's un-American, DeSantis added. So this is probably the most critical problem, that you weaponize the parties pretty soon. And I've talked about this myself long ago. You broach the lines that have been made to keep things normalized for whatever reason. There's reasons why you do this. That when they break, then there's no limit. That this now become open warfare. Now, what happens about Republican prosecutors who want to go after Democratic officials, people who want to run for candidates? It just opens up a chaotic condition that, if you look at the judicial side, it's not supposed to really work that way, as I said before last week. If it's true that this prosecutor, Democratic prosecutor, has been dishonest, he can be hit for that. he's immune other than that. So they better hit this really carefully. But we see right in the news, weaponization of the legal system. For my point, that's not even news. Weaponization of the legal system has hit the people, has been, that's what the people suffer all the time. By people inside the system itself. So this is not news. You can't look at a 98% conviction rate in most jurisdictions for the prosecutors and say that that's a just system. They just can't do it. And when you look inside it, you find out it isn't. It is not made to be. This is like one big giant bank, and they absorb your energy as best they can. It's just the Matrix is not a movie, folks. But Trump went on in this article, went on to add, and to confirm what I told you last week. Trump did not reveal his next steps, but warned in a post on Truth Social that this witch hunt will backfire massively on Joe Biden. While his lawyer, Joe Tocopina, vowed to, quote, vigorously fight this political prosecution in court. And there it was. Trump has a response. It's going to be in the court. Now, this talk about him evading extradition is kind of interesting at that point. It even goes against what DeSantis says. But the point is, whether I want to agree with the justice system or not, it's injustice. It's just us, okay? But this is the system they purport to most people. This is what the people, the majority of people, respond to. Trump knows it's got to go through the courts, however it goes through. So if we keep eating the popcorn, I guess we could, or do we stop eating the popcorn, get out of the theater, and say, that's going to work its way out. What is our real existential threat? And I say that in the literal form. It is what's going on around these things, behind, as these are running cover. The new show, the new place to go watch, are exposing the literal existential threat against your way of life and your little ones, and this is the future that they want is going to come onto us. This starts to weaponize everything, and there's no check and balance, is all I can tell you. That means that everybody's susceptible. Russia, existential threat is confirmed again. Russia is fighting for its very existence, Putin says. And this is where we start to see, we need to pick this up. I've been talking to you about all this. What's going on to Trump is in a process. What goes on the internet is a process. You notice it's all weaponized. What even the government has become is a process of weaponization. It doesn't stop just because it's federal. It actually goes local, and the judicial system moving into your executive through the attorneys has weaponized the state against you. And I got an eyeball on all that. I was able to see it. I can say it was blessed to do so. A year of my life working out, thinking that we needed to comment through Jefferson Mining District, but watching how bills were going through, how excuses are made, how agendas are made, how they're done through the legislation over time, and no one notices the setup for the takedown. They just all one day all of a sudden are subject to it and don't know. Now they're confused. The fruit flies are confused. Russia is fighting for its very existence, is the thing I want you to understand for you. You are fighting for your very existence. Your relationship to your reality is is transforming right before your eyes. Russia took that on for themselves. There's nobody in the world that's going to change their mind. They feel they're in a corner, whether it's justified or not. They feel they're in a corner. That's what you're dealing with. When you put yourself into a corner, or someone has put you there, you're not going to respond to the world in a way that the one who put you there expects you to. And so this is just an observation that we move in, and Russia has seen, it's been stated by the West that they're going to be taken down. Russia is going to be taken down by the West. That's the motive. It's not even a question. It's not just some off statement by some sideline official. This is the policy now of the United States government. The ongoing conflict with Ukraine and the West is a fight for Russia's very existence rather than a mere geopolitical game, President Vladimir Putin has said. He made the remarks on Tuesday while meeting with aircraft factory workers in the capital city of Russia's Buryatia Republic. And so we see they've raised this up. And anything we go on, the weaponization of diplomacy, the weaponization of they called it rules-based order, was the weaponization, actually, by the West. And so if you don't see the rules shifting, you don't see the foundation shifting against you, you're going to be taken down. And Russia's not going to let that happen to them, is an example I think you need to think about. As we even see people responding in that regard that think they're in a threat locally. We had that in the shooting recently. And then that gives fodder for the Uniparty to attack or pretend to defend against rights that are not supposed to be touched. We have the right to bear arms. You want to see how Russia responds? We talked last week. They went to nuclear, positioning nuclear weapons. That's arms. There's an arms race, we told. It would include nuclear weapons. If you don't think this is serious stuff, I told you when Russia went to the point where they said they were not going to give notification to the United States, I said that's a serious, serious problem. Russia even knows that to the point to confirm what I said last week. Russia makes goodwill missile pledge to the U.S. They realize that by shutting the door of all communications meant that anything they do could be considered an attack because the United States wants to see one. And Russia comes out within a few days to fix that problem. Well, we're not going to just shut down all communication. We're going to continue to inform Washington on its launches, Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov said. They cannot shut this door. This is the problem of the threat of nuclear weapons. And so despite Russia saying we have the right to bear arms and we're going to, we're not going to tell you our position. This is my problem in the United States over registration of your guns. They know where your arms are and they knew who have them and how many. The military needs to know that. In this case, when you're just going to be running tests or you're going to be doing things, you cannot close the door on that your tests are tests and allow someone who wants to take you out to believe you've actually done a missile attack. Russia realized their mistake, I believe, here and fixed it really quickly. Fixed what I told you last week was a serious development. Showing you that there's ways to look at all this to anticipate a potential future. In other words, our military analysts, our political, geopolitical analysts, under our State Department knows these things too. So that's why when we see them talking less than a baby fruit fly, engaging less neurons than a baby fruit fly, we have to wonder what's really going on here. And there's another answer for that in the context of who is speaking, whom is speaking, and through what example they are looking at. And I would then cite, and we will go into here in this broadcast, the dual citizenship problem, the dual use, if you will, weaponization of diplomats through an agenda that's been filled by a foreign power, and their foreign power because they're also nuclear, though they deny it. But that doesn't deter someone who looks at an existential threat and starts to take action, which I'm asking us to do as people, all over, it doesn't matter what nation. There's a certain process that goes on that I've been trying to explain. You saw the example was done for us in the United States, the Declaration of Independence. They had to write that document. They had to give their reasons. It's why I tell you, write your record. Make a record of the objective basis that was violated by those that had a duty to do otherwise. Identify that they don't have a duty to function the way they did to out the collar of benefits. You have to do that. You have to do it by a basis. And at some point, once you've done that, then you can take your mutual aid help once you see a bunch of people working together, which I'm not so sure is possible in the United States anymore. I really am wondering now as I look around how much work, and we're going to see the example of what it takes to affect governments here in the news as I come along. But Russia's taken in its own hand. It looked for other mutual help, and it found it in China. And we see that's why the United States starts to now make everybody the enemy. It's a natural consequence. When you start taking a war footing. In Moscow, Xi, and Putin bury Pax Americana, written by Pepe Escobar, a report highlighting for us what happens and how it goes about what you need to do. You consider you and your neighbor, two foreign nations, and you will have to come to these agreements or not. You will be coming part of the same thing locally, and at some point you're going to have to put down all your differences to see we have a threat against us generally. Whatever our differences are need to be set aside, is what we're watching happening in the world that's not the West. And this was now risen up in this example that things are not going to be the old way at all. As Pepe writes here, what has just taken place in Moscow is nothing less than New Yalta, which incidentally is Crimea. But unlike the momentous meeting of the United States President Franklin Roosevelt, Soviet leader Joseph Stalin, and the British Prime Minister Winston Churchill in the USSR-run Crimea in 1945, this is the first time in arguably five centuries that no political leader from the West is setting the global agenda. And this was a critical insight to understand as you read through his story here, his report on what his insights are. He's there looking at this. And again, keep in mind, he leans on the side of the Russia-Chinese essentially overthrow of the Western hegemony. And that might be okay, but be careful not to get lost too deep in that. There's going to be an eventual balance somewhere, and we want to make sure that that's kept in our mind as we move along doing the analysis, but to know the sea change that's gone on in the world, literally, here, and then the confirmation of that through acts, again, of a sovereign in mutual aid of each other. And there, just to bring out, there was a discussion, someone said this was an alliance, and then the United States said, no, it's not. Understand that's the truth. This is not an alliance, what they're doing. It's mutual aid, but they have different agendas. They still have their differences. And so understand that the State Department knows exactly what they're watching here. And they're not happy with it, but the point is they can't stop it because they've been using less neurons than a baby fruit fly to approach the new world, if you will. Regardless of how we couch it in New World Order and confine it and say, oh, that's it, there's a new world. We don't know really what that order will do, but it's being made right for us if we understand. They're making their own economic system. They're making their own ability to do transfers for that. They're working around, and we're going to hear it. They're working around anything the West wants to do to stop them. They're working around it. And I'm asking us, the obstructions that we get, notwithstanding trying to stop them in our nations and through the government oppression that goes on under color and the weaponization of the government itself, we have to do two things. We have to out that, stop it, but we can set up a mutual parallelism, if you will, that allows us to continue to work. And we need to cut ties from everything that's going on. As we see here with Russia going on, taking it as an example, it's kind of hard to see this. I don't know where else we get our energy than what the utilities have been set up for us. And understand, in the United States, utility use is a servitude. Utility use is an evidence of a residence, is an evidence of the subjectness to the government for regulation. And so people don't understand that, but that's one of the, you look for what is a residence address? Go find out what they are. One of the biggest lists, the quickest list is go to the motor vehicle code. Anything that's in the list for residence is how they tie you to the federal. And so getting back to the energy, so I don't know what we do about this energy and stuff. So we have a couple of steps in the United States to figure out. This off-grid living, why the governments and the states, it's the states, folks, not the federals, but the states went after off-grid living and went after, I think it was Florida even, went after solar panels. Remember, I was reporting about that. They're attacking property owners that are off the grid. They want you on the grid. That's the reason. But it makes us not a state tie. It makes a federal tie. So your states are shown to be federal agents. And that also then extends back. That shows us that we didn't really, the more perfect union was actually this one big blood clot. It wasn't really a several states. I don't care what Texas is thinking. Go look. I've read that. I've read the documents. No one was removed from this servitude. That's why we see the way residency as a condition of continuing regulation authority. But moving back into energy, what we do for energy, utilities, for us in the United States, is a servitude, actually. How we solve that, I don't know. But let's watch what the sovereigns do. Russia claims to have completely redirected oil exports to avoid embargo. A sovereign has the ability to work out with other people how to avoid the constraint. We the people have to start to do that. This is a much more complicated, in my mind. Maybe they're on to me, folks. The fruit fly, the baby fruit fly, they've tracked it down. I'm next. I don't know. Here, there's too much involved, too many moving pieces for just one answer, it seems. Maybe one of you got the answer and I haven't heard from it. But most people I hear from are totally absent the reality. They want to think a lot of reading made it work, but it doesn't. There's an actual thing going on and a bunch of things going on, lots of plates in the air that have to be touched and kept going, and then some pulled off at the right time. It's going to take a lot more thought about. But Russia claims to have completely redirected oil exports to avoid embargo. Make news here, folks. I'm showing you Russia's not sitting around. I told you this before. You can see it. They're setting up to cut themselves loose and setting up parallel system. We can see that. I was talking about the BRICS system the whole time. Remember, though, on the globalism part, I think it was the World Bank has directors, right? Or is it the IMF has a director sitting in BRICS? So that part, the economics is all going to be, the finances are going to be ultimately connected. And I didn't talk about it, but I think it was the IMF is giving an okay for I think it's an African country to go ahead and break away. They're not really concerned there because see, the bankers got this. The bankers have this. And if they don't have it, they'll come into your country and make you give it to them. But Russia is solving the energy problem, getting around the sanctions. They're not being hurt by lowering Russian oil price cap, unprofitable for U.S. as the crude cost dip would hit its producers. So as we see, like spitting into a hurricane, we're going to get a big mess on us. That's what it's been. Not only is Russia cutting it out, even when they got oil capped, because they're a producer, folks. They own the raw materials. As I've been told you, it's a powerful position. Why those of us in the United States that are producers are being attacked. The farmer, the rancher, the miner, the mill. They know, the government, the people in the government know what they need to take out. That's how we're being hurt. Russia's a producer that you can't do that to. They can produce, and they can produce as cheap as they need to keep running. And the backsplash now shows that the price of oil has been dropping to the point that the caps are useless and meaningless. And it's not profitable. The United States shot itself in the foot again. As these lines of parallel commerce open up to nations that are not taking it anymore, as I was talking last week, we see the economic shift. The dollar is coming out of favor, as I've been talking. Again, confirmation in the news. These are not just spacious ideas. These are really going on now. Brazil and China sign a pact to abandon the dollar. The two BRICS nations will now reportedly trade in their own currencies. This is a sea change of immense importance here. Putin and China get together. They don't make an alliance. They make a mutual aid pact to do their own things in order to keep themselves functioning. China, one of the bigger demands in the world, has the money movement potential. Putin is agreeing, Russia is agreeing to let the yuan be the reserve currency in their realm. And this starts to move the idea that every nation can do this. They're all their own reserve currency. They just have to agree how to make them par with each other at some point. And what the system is of exchange. That's all this is about. And so Brazil gets in the act. The BRICS, BRICS, plus now, folks. Showing you this is a big deal. Why Americans then pay attention about their economy going down the tubes and how they're going to, what they're going to try and do to avoid that train of abuse. I hesitate to say where you're going to go. I really don't have the answer. You did know that gold went up, silver went up. It's bouncing. It's all manipulated, but that's a harbor. There's other harbors. What about cash? I don't know. We're sitting pretty vulnerable. For lots of reasons. But we still have to function as people in a society. I don't know how you do that anyway than locally to where you are. We're going to have to raise up really quickly another demand on us, understanding how these things work against us. It was being given to us all this time. Now we're going to have to take command of it for ourselves if we don't want to suffer really what we're watching. What's going to come down on the United States? Notwithstanding the fact that I was watching some professor of economy saying these dollars are meaningless. The condition of the Fed, what it's doing, it just has to come up with a $100 billion commission to Congress to keep its monopoly. Well, that's all this is, folks. So if that's the case and the dollar, the fiat is meaningless, why wouldn't the Fed just print it? It could. It's working on fraud anyway. So there may be a long way, something I didn't quite understand. It may be, if you will, forever to kick the can down the road, but for these nations saying, we're not going to do that. We're going to work in our production. You've got demands and supplies, and we're going to work in that, and we're going to reopen up our own lines of communication in the commerce and fiscal system. We don't need the United States. We don't need the West. We ignore it. And part of that's the answer for people in the United States. We have to ignore a lot of the superfluous stuff, call it out for the fraud that it is, put it in its place, and then focus on what you need to do. China urges U.S. to stop interfering with other countries' affairs under pretext of democracy. This became another theme, another weak point for the West. Again, under color of something, under color of benefits, under color of national security, the Restrict Act comes to take away all your ability to communicate or privately or whatever because you're a national security threat. There really isn't a limitation in that act. When you see, when you look back and see what they've done with the PATROT Act to expand the 2001 authorization, they just make a comment that what you're doing is working with the target of that law and you could potentially be connected is all they need anymore. I also understand they have taken away the 2002 Iraqi authorization, but the 2001 sits there. And they realize that's a different animal and beast, something we need to get rid of, actually, because it's giving these governments. Biden came out and said, we don't need the 2002 anymore. We're working on something else. It ends up being, it looks like the 2001 authorization, which they need to stop. So that the government, the weaponization of the government against you can't call everything a national security threat. Another lie, the war of terror. China urges the U.S. to stop interfering with other countries. This is a massive problem now for the United States. China can now step up and be the beacon, if you will, of what region rationale is. It goes right after, as I've told you, you go right after what they want, but you have to show how what they're doing is not correct. You call it out for the lack of benefits that it actually is. China says stop interfering under pretext of democracy. That's it. That's the color of, when you see the words color of. I say that because when you look in the law of the United States, there's a couple of supposed remedies that the state officials acting under color of law, under the pretext of lawful action. And I've explained to you how you attack that by showing there was a dereliction to the duty under the law. So it can't be. It's really kind of a simple forward. But China's been put now by these actions, and Putin is okay with the yuan being reserved for that system. Putting China in a position, and China's been taking advantage when we were getting the news that they were gearing up in a different way. That was not a joke. Watch how this works, though. Watch how the shift goes on. Look at how the world, not for you, you may not even perceive this, but the world is responding to this to give favor to this a mutual benefit. You don't have to. You just have to get people you trust to do trustable things. The United States is losing that. And I've suggested that over and over. I said that the public trust was lost with COVID swindle, but no one yet has really come onto that in any real way, even though I've been explaining how to do that. Everyone just takes credit in the United States for doing something that we can, well, point out that was wrong. And then they get credit for that. But that's not going to stop the problem because what got that problem there is still working. It's still functioning, that thing that's going on, the deceptions that are going on. So, abandoning, again, the rule of the international law, the getting together, abandoning the niceties that have gone on and starting to show weaknesses, the cracking of the porcelain, if you will, in the United States and its position, and the people, these other organizations that come together in the United States to bring us down. From their source, we're watching even a friction here because no one becomes accountable and no one is going to be held accountable. And they want to get their agenda passed. There is no rules order in the world right now, and fraud helped that. We hear this very interesting exchange, and I'm going to go down this path because I'm finding interest in what it takes to interfere with a nation in a substantive way. And part of it is clouded by whom is doing this and why. But we have a nation, the so-called, they claim, which really, I won't even get into the politics of this one, but I've talked about a lot of this, who's just large enough, millions and millions and millions of people, who's having a fracture, who's been trying to work with mutual aid, but it's not been genuine, that may be coming to the point where it's being found out. And I didn't give a lot of credit as far as the immediate destruction that Nasrallah said that Israel would go through, but we're watching possibly that very thing, and maybe even fomented by the United States. I'm not quite sure, as we see people making observations. But what came out here this week, and the fracture of this superior thought, this exceptionalism in the world that people are, other people in other nations are not, other leaders are not putting up with it. They are avoiding them. They are moving on their own. Netanyahu tells Biden to stay out of Israel's business. Now, this was almost shocking to me relative to what Biden was asking, relative to what Israel's going through. The apparent potential civil war, which looks more to me, and someone picks it up, I got a link for this too, it looks more like a color revolution. I just can't tell quite yet who's running it. But this may be a clue that Netanyahu says tells Biden stay out of Israel's business. I'm going to show you something at the end of this where maybe now if Biden was representing you, the people, he would say, okay, we're going to allow you to stay out of our business. And he would then petition to cut the funds, and he would petition to sanction, which they don't, but they're gonna, he would, if they were looking to protect us, sanction all industry out of Israel. Where we see Netanyahu tells Biden to stay out of Israel's business, Israel will not tolerate meddling in its internal affairs, even from the best of friends, he said. This is a really interesting dynamic, how the words are used and how they're used in order to gain favor or not. It depends on who your impression. But he will. They say that Israel will not succumb to pressure from abroad. The suggestion from Biden was, don't let your civil war get out of hand. Back off on what you're doing on changing your government and constraining your Supreme Court. That was too much of a request, apparently. And what interesting has come up from there was this strife that builds up into the system, which I reported on. So I'm bringing this almost old news. I'm going to continue on a little bit. And I'm looking at what I'm looking at. I hope you see this in this context. What is the dynamic of how a nation starts to get torn apart? What causes officials to have to make responses and causes them to respond? And can we take notes from this? To look and see that this is what we need in our quiver if we the people are going to start to come back in order to bring back a way of life that's being stolen from us, right in front of us. Not any one thing works. It takes a whole lot more. Like, as I've been saying, you're right to bear arms, and then the execution, that it may not be so cool. It may not be actually what you need to do. In fact, we're going to find out, I may not get to it either, but this civil war inside the far right of Israel, they've actually moved to start a National Guard to put down these protests. So when someone wants power, they don't want to give it up at all. And they'll do whatever is under the color of the law, under the color of the democracy in order to pull off essentially the crime, the oppression of the whole state. It's, in this case, who is going to control the apartheid oppressor? Is, I think, part of this underlying thing. But here's a tweet. The Israeli right wing are planning counter demonstrations across Israel centered on Jerusalem tonight, very much looking like an Israeli Euromaidan and anti-Maidan situation, referring to Ukraine, where the United States overthrew the democratic government to install what you see today becomes what Russia has to decide, I think, is an existential threat to its very existence. Because of the statements of the United States itself. My question on this post, which won't probably likely get any response, is if you look at what happened in Maidan, we also see that there was the snipers and they were taking out people. My question is, because this is the left and the right now protesting like a color revolution, which I think he's pointing out here, in order to overthrow potentially the right wing, potentially, we don't know that for sure. We don't know what's going to rise to power to run the tiller of the ship of state of oppression. I ask, if so, if this is Euromaidan, an anti-Maidan situation, if so, who will the snipers be taking? We have to look very carefully at how the governments are being manipulated. The United States is not out of it. The United States come in and say, well, we don't really agree that you got to be careful not to go too far. Now, I'm not saying I agree with the United States because it's done something else I'll bring up here. to show you the hypocrisy and the lack of consistency. It's really a mental illness. I can't see how, it's just not a, it's a mental illness because it doesn't go anywhere good, and these people work an agenda that the outcome is not good. You can see that going in. So who's running this thing? That it's running is very interesting. How, what pops up out of this thing is very telling. What it takes in a whole, a nation, it doesn't matter which side you're on, a nation must stand up together to stop the oppression. And be careful not to be used in the process. But we want to remind ourselves of what happened at Madan. There was a rigorous Madan massacre expose that was suppressed by the top academic journal, which shows you, again, if it was acknowledged to be an excellent supported reference of what happened, of the coup and who did it and why that was suppressed. We now have credibility in a way, if you will. You should read, find it and read it anyway, but we can be reminded that the massacre by snipers of anti-government activists and police officers in Kyiv's Maidan Square in the late February 2014 was a defining moment in the U.S. orchestrated overthrow of Ukraine's elected government. If you want to understand what the United States will do in other countries under the color of democracy, and what nations under the dual citizenship guidance of working under the color of democracy is, when actually the nations are actually knowing that it's not, is the problem here. Why Russia and China and the BRICS and all the African nations are doing, can do what they do now. They just say, no, that was always been a lie. Read this story to find out that knowledge to you will be suppressed on what really went on, that the United States foments this stuff. We're causing the problems in the world. And there's only a, seemingly a few people that have a lineage that are involved in our government, the United States government, that are consistently the fomenters of all this stuff that I think need to be removed. I don't know, I don't think they need to be removed. There needs to be some accountability. We need to get beyond the, let's say, Trump theater. We need to realize that there's political hits going on now, like a third, call it, you know, banana republic. It's okay. This is going on now all over the world as well. Is that what kind of a, how long is that train of abuse we're going to tolerate? People don't understand. They've already been suffering that train of abuse. So we're a lot longer than the news in suffering the oppression. But we continue to go along, which I said, I'm still dismayed at COVID swindle. It was so easy to point out and so easy to assert and protect and be the example. And when very few did much of anything, or they stepped back too far to allow authorities under color of benefits that were not. No different than Marjorie Taylor Greene, I guess her name is, saying, oh, we were stopped the COVID, the GOP-led House stopped the COVID-19. No, you didn't. You didn't. You allowed it to perpetuate next time. You didn't out it at all. Same thing here. We see their snipers. I'm questioning, who are the snipers going to be in Israel? What's the color revolution going on here that's shaking up a nation? Big enough to observe what it takes. We can kind of translate that population density to a state in the United States. Look at what it's taking in order to destabilize an oppressor in the government. And I think we're going to get a better appreciation, while I'm talking about it, a better appreciation of what it's going to take for people in the United States to mutually work despite your differences in order to bring some level of order back, so that you're not, your world isn't transformed into an expression of a corporation on a global stage. And we see, I want to remind us now, Netanyahu said to Biden, keep your nose out of our business. Then I read this story. Senior Meta official hacked by Israeli spyware Predator in Greece. Artemis C. Ford is the first known case of American citizen being targeted in an EU country by the Israeli surveillance tool Predator, the use of which has been the subject of a widening scandal in Greece. I just want to point this out. Why, here's Biden's, if he was important to this and he understood, was not complicit with this problem, he's surrounded by these dual citizens as well, so he's got another problem. Kind of like Trump, not being able to clean out the swamp, maybe on purpose. But senior Met official hacked by Israeli spyware Predator There's a new, like Pegasus, now Predator. I think Biden has every power to say, this is a national security risk, Mr. Netanyahu. And you will mind your own business, and you will cease to deliver your spyware to anyone. Because it poses a threat to us. And while I'm at it, we're going to now not spend the money, the billions that we send every year, to support this type of a keep your nose out of our business. We want you to keep your nose out of everybody else's business. Do I make up something when I talk about dual citizenship? No. In this case, it's a dual American Greek national who worked for Meta. So this is doesn't matter. We have to address these things. They're recognized in the notice to us. But these are things. It matters that this guy had a dual citizenship. It matters who came after him. The dual citizens that also run the United States in policy, at least. They're everywhere. That one of the originators of this cancer in our country says, keep your nose out of our business. If they were important to us, if we had representation, they'd say, okay, well, we're going to have you keep your business out of our. We're sanctioning everything that you're doing in order to keep your nose in our business. This is an American national you messed with. And so I don't know, to me, if we were going to watch a world that works under the equities of law as best as we could, our representatives would be doing this forthright. And Israel would find itself in a much different condition really quickly. And when you don't see it, consider why. Consider what might be going on. Netanyahu says, United States, keep your nose out of our business, and Biden could say, you keep your nose out of everybody's business. And just as we sanctioned Putin for Russia being the oppressor, committing all these war crimes, you are doing the same thing to our people. When you start seeing that, maybe we're going to have a change again. But we're not seeing that. I just want to point that out. Here it's ripe here for this condition. Israel doesn't want anybody looking in their business, which is an interesting insight. I don't think anybody wants their dirty laundry exposed, but it got exposed here. And then, so we want to know about that because I want to do, and I'm doing a cursory check of this. I'm just looking at what's going on, taking note of things. What does it take to destabilize a government for sure? Not just the color revolution, but you're affecting people en masse across that nation. And we need to understand a bit more of the condition. If you want to, I got a link. What you need to know about Israel's judicial reforms, which appears to be the crux of the problem, although I'm not so sure it is a place we can focus. Because there's other things that hit the news just before. Again, you see all this discussion I'm talking. This was all supposed to be tagged onto two or three broadcasts before. But you see, we can understand what this issue is over there trying to adjust and bring their judiciary subject to the executive. Again, essentially, if the judiciary says something's unconstitutional, the executive has the power to tell the judiciary, get out of our business. And we're going to do it anyway. In the nutshell, there's a whole lot more going on. But you can read about this. And again, we see it's not unusual. We see, Trump theater. That's going to run its course. Well, Netanyahu, it's across the board. Netanyahu has been formally barred from involvement in the initiative because he is facing criminal corruption charges, which he denies. No different than the United States. It's the same hassle going on, the same attack. How this guy keeps going, I don't know. These charges have been on him for years and years and years. And we have another insight there if we wanted to go look at it. But we get an insight of what this issue going on relative to left and right, supposedly, like Democrats and Republicans, and the problems they cause. But it looks like we might be able to have an insight on what it takes to start to destabilize a government that's corrupt. Essentially, I don't see it. To me, they're both Democrats and Republican governments have corruptions big time. It's just whether or not you want to see them. Like I said, DeSantis has his own on Kobe Swindle. They all have their own on Kobe Swindle. It doesn't matter who you are. That was the low-hanging fruit for me. Why people didn't start picking that one, I don't know. Because that one actually went right up the chain of authority really quickly, right into your constitutions, and gave yourself your remedy and your relief, even if those criminals wouldn't give it to you. That would give you the other issue that you need in order to begin to stop it. Everybody then gets threatened by it. But you know the truth of it. You know that you're dealing with officials not dutifully executing the law, which was set and lawful up until that time. In other words, I'm saying communicable disease law for this COVID swindle seemed to be good enough, seemed to be protective enough in due process, and seemed to be based in foundations enough that you could rely on it. It wasn't corrupted, like it's going to be here coming, that they're trying to do in Israel. They're doing the same thing. They're corrupting the establishment, whether that's overtly in acts of law or by just ignoring the law. Again, so I'm asking us to look at this news in Israel. Not to, oh, it's a civil war. Oh, they got problems. No, look at what it's taking. Look at what causes people to be motivated to finally take action. And we see that in this Israel thing going on. This Israeli, the secretive Israel think tank behind Netanyahu's judicial overhaul, spoke directly to what I've been talking to you about, backroom things. We know about think tanks. The listener behind the woodshed knows about this. But this is a confirmation they are working. But it's not just that. Think tanks are coming from the university systems. They're coming from the academics. They're coming from the law schools. They're coming from every other place that non-governmental organizations that look like benefits to the people. In fact, they're agents of destruction. That's a big deal. As I keep telling you, your Second Amendment is not going to protect you against this cancer that's everywhere. And we see this in Israel. It's just right there. It's functioning in the United States. In fact, they refer to the mechanisms of the United States that they're using in Israel in order to implement these nonsenses. As I explained, I've identified in 2012, I think it was, or 11, relative to the legislatures and how these non-governmental agencies that look like they have benefits, like a law school, will bring in legislation in bits and pieces and then lobby the legislators to enact those bills. And when we stepped in, we said, well, some half of these bills are all crimes. And we identified those. The other half had problems relative to principles of law. We identified that. We were able to interfere with a lot of those legislations. The ones we couldn't, though, got put back in, and we could tell at that point, those parts get assembled. As I told you, then I was looking, okay, they have the parts to assemble in these bills that they passed. Now they haven't funded them. We're looking for it was predictable. We're looking for a funding bill, sure enough. Just days before the end of the session, it flies in and flies through to fund this construction kit that they put on in order to defeat people, take away production, control it, put in the agendas, the sustainability. And so this is a method. And they use these think tanks, if you will, these legislative aides, these lobbyists, in all kinds of forms of agencies, instrumentalities of the government already to help defeat you. Here it was, right here, the think tanks behind Netanyahu's judicial overhaul. He did politically, essentially, an act of suicide by having to coddle up to them. Again, political agreements make interesting bedfellows, and now he's trapped. But you're watching a mechanism. You're watching how this country is being taken down. It's a model, they said, right here from the United States. If you can understand what I'm looking at when I look at the news to give you all an insight, if you really want to tackle some of this, hopefully all of it, there's enough of us in the world to do so. We just have to decide to do that. There's enough in this in the United States, in each state, to do it. It doesn't take that many, actually. It just takes that interested, persistent band of people to do so properly. And we see reflections of the United States all over this issue. How we've been taken down, and they tell us how we can take it back out. And then we see that these things, that as people start to find out the truth of how this is going on, it's very special interest, very much specialized outcomes and agendas. People start to respond. And this was interesting to watch. This is what it starts to take. Now, I'm not saying, oh, this, look at Israel, we're beating on them. I'm saying, look at the response that it took and takes in order to be something that causes a very real threat to this nation of whatever. I don't know. It's not a people. It's a movement, a Zionistic movement. They're using people to support. And the people are now realizing don't want to go that way. They're not going to push the 1800s view of politics on this state. They're not going to go quite that far. Very important here. Whether it ever ends or not, I don't know. But Israel's consul general in New York resigns after Gallant's dismissal. Somebody was dismissed by Netanyahu based in this, and that caused a reverberation through the diplomatic corps. Understand what that means to us. We have to have that same thing because it starts to domino effect. More and more people come to know this is serious. It's now going to interfere our interactions with the world. And if you look at it from the side of the right side, it's not the right side, it's the Zionist, extreme orthodoxy Zionism. They watched as we heard them complain that the Xi Jinping Saudi Arabia agreement was going to interfere with them in all this. And they were dropping the ball in these diplomatic areas. Here's a diplomat saying, based on this stuff, and now the uprising and the shift and the establishment that's gone on, I'm going to resign. Israel's Consul General in New York, Asaf Samir, announced his resignation after Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu dismissed Defense Minister Yoav Gallant over the latter's call to halt the controversial judicial reforms. And then this starts to establish a domino effect that starts to move on the interposition here of these diplomats, these people that have an authority, the seat of decision, the seat of representation, start to see the effect they can have on a governmental administration. I want you to observe that. We've used this. You don't need more than one or two that are dead on this point to start the dominoes falling. And this works as an example for us in the United States. I've been using this I can't do it. But I can talk with people who have the better, I guess, personal relationships they can build. I think maybe I'm a little bit too much information and a matter of fact. Let's just get it done. But there's a nuance that has to go in relationships with people. I can work with people that understand what I'm doing when they have the tools to go work with the people that will receive the information and then have the seat of decision to push it on. We see right here, the diplomats are saying, we're not going to go with this. The interposition steps up, and that starts a domino effect across the board in this nation. Israel's embassy closed until further notice. This, to me, I don't know what about you. Maybe it does. Some people don't find it interesting, first of all, or important. I find the response immense because it shows defects in what the checks and balances are in the United States that people have the power to start influencing. Israel's embassy closed upon this resignation. Over the military guy, remember? And what all that means. And this is important because in one of the reports and tabs you'll read that the Arabs making deals with Israel understand the Palestinian question. And they realize what Zionism, what Israel's doing. And they won't go that far. They only agree so they can keep the peace. But they won't go to a certain point to disregard a certain people being oppressed. That their diplomatic corps is maybe not functioning so well. It looks good on the surface, but it's not functioning inside the sentiments of those that are ultimately making decisions. Critical to watch and understand on a global stage that I think is possible to work in our countries. And I talk to the United States and my experience through some of the functions of those, but I think it's applicable just about everywhere. It's our response to with people and showing them better paths than what they might have thought. Maybe even stepping up like a mayor to tell a school board, you've allowed porn, you've allowed child abuse in your schools, and I've talked to a judge, it's what you've done. If you don't resign, you're going to be facing charges. That kind of power. You start to get that power. You start showing what's going on calmly, obviously, foundationally, objectively. People will step up. I talk a lot and make it sound like the whole thing's failed. We're not a failed people. We're allowing failure. Embassies close until further notice. Wow. Wow. That's all I can say anymore. I look around the world. Wow. Look at what's going on. In a way, what a great time to live, to watch the world shaking. It's just mankind shaking and quaking under the pressure of oppression. Now, I'm hoping we all move in the right direction. And I guess the optimism I'm having, we have it. It's just a matter of stepping forward. Diplomats have joined the general strike over Benjamin Netanyahu's judicial reform proposals. Now, there is, again, this is not just Israel. This is a larger diplomatic corps that interacts with everything around it. And this becomes a reflection on who, which side of the line do people start to fall? We talked about Russia. We talked about the mutual benefit that they're coming together, making their agreements, and serious agreements here. Who is on the inside of that? Who's not? Sanctions pretty well tell us that part. But foreign minister said worried by worsening Russia tone over Israel actions in Syria. This defect that's happening in Israel has the Israeli diplomats, and this is part of the problem that they see. This strife is now showing up, and other countries are looking in to say there's a serious problem that goes beyond the borders of Israel. In this case, Russia is looking at how Israel's attacking Syria. No cause, no cause at all. They have a cause, but it's a colorable cause. And at some point, Russia is getting tired of it. And this is what the strife inside starts to show there's an external pressure that comes on when you go to so far in a nation. Again, reduce this down to you in your state, your county, first of all. And this is the pebble you have to be to emanate out. But it starts getting taken notice by others. At Russia's request, the UN Security Council discussed strikes in Syria attributed to Israel, a sign of hardening in rhetoric from Moscow toward Jerusalem. The Security Council discussion came after a report Israel has authorized the sale of defensive military weapons to Kiev for the first time since Russia's invasion of Ukraine. You can't talk out of both sides of your mouth when Russia looks at anything to Ukraine as an existential threat. And their diplomatic corps has been doing that. It's what the Arabs, I'm reading in an article, I can't remember now, is the Middle East Eye, I think I found an article, an analysis how this works. You can fool the people on the surface, but underlying that, their sentiment of what you're doing to them is understood to be a fraud. And you agree to a certain point. You agree to keep that threat off of you because it doesn't cost you anything, actually. So the foreign minister, because of the shakeup and the exposure that this is coming, bringing in the scrutiny of Russia and negatively on this pressure that's in Israel, we can see a dynamic setup that some of you may have talent to expose and bring upon a local jurisdiction. This is part of showing, as I've been explaining, and I've run across a conversation with somebody who, there's a group of people, maybe 30, if I understood the number right, working to attack, let's say, a traffic citation system. There's about 30 of them working in a very interesting way to attack the judicial system on its, and the prosecution of the state against traffic tickets. Very interesting. But they have procedural defects, which I was helping in talk. It was interesting for me to hear there's a unique attack going on, that people are coming together mutually to do in other states. They're just not talking out off their opinion. They actually have an independent one state with precedent for the addressment. And it occurred to me to say to you, I've talked a few weeks to this individual about this, who contacted me to go through the procedural problems that they may have. And I made some pointers. The point is, it's a bunch of people that are coming with better than the neurons of a baby fly to address a problem more properly to address a local issue in their state. That's a fraud. That's a complete oppression. That encourages, again, me. There's not many people doing it, but they're organized. They've got some basis. It sounds proper at this point. They have to be careful on a certain procedural issues relative to federal, state, jurisdictional differences. But there are some of you out there working diligently and in this view, my view of what they're doing, interestingly collateral, but proper upon the crime that's been going on against people in their own states. Shows me this condition where Russia helping Syria, China helping Russia, we have a group of mutual people saying, wait a minute, the thorn in our side is now Israel. They can claim a justification, but they can't because they're hypocrites as well, on top of what they claim about a democracy. We're going to cover Biden, get your nose out of our business because we want to keep our democracy, when the change is going to do everything but continue the democracy. And nations, look at this. We, the people, have to look at this, have to say, the way that change is not going there. Like the Restrict Act, I'll go right back to that part. Oh, it makes TikTok an object because of China. That's not the real purpose. The purpose is you, to come after you, what you want, what you need. Interfere with your view, your communication. Literally destroy your ability to work your republic, if you will, if you can keep it, to take that duty away from you. Now, okay, so all these ministers, these diplomats are seeing these problems. They're jumping out of the court. They're closing the embassies. That doesn't stop Netanyahu. You don't know what stopped Netanyahu? Is when this, right after this story hit, he makes a decision to stop this nonsense, temporarily, no less. But McDonald's announces it will join the strike against judicial overhaul. When McDonald's joined the strike, the next thing we hear was Netanyahu suspends judicial reform. If you want to know how to control a politician, I suppose, maybe Biden has ice cream on his plate. Yes, mapping the brain of a fruit fly, and they're onto me, folks, is a threat. You've got to be real careful about these things. So McDonald's decides they're going to strike. Next thing I see on the news, Netanyahu suspends this whole thing. Again, suspend. It's not going away. It's been reserved to be brought up in the next, I guess, Knesset session. You folks did a job. You shut down a bad decision. In my mind, it's a bad you're not using the people's will, even if it is a democracy. But it's not a democracy. You saw the fact of it. If there's going to be an Israel and it's going to hold together, it can't be going down that path whatsoever. I don't care what left or right is. But it also exposes the soft underbelly. They're denying that there's the Palestinians. We get stories here, this insane stuff. They're eliminating their options, which creates another hypocrisy relative to their existence. And now I'm starting to think what Nasrallah was looking at, if he was looking forward to this, what he was saying about there's an existential threat against the existence of that Zionist oppression. It starts to look like that's really possible. What I want us to see is look what it takes. It takes more than a couple people with an opinion making a bill to end COVID-19. It takes you looking at the proper things and making a stink out of it till other people jump in and go your potential way to start becoming the noise against it. To the point that you start reverberating, you start shaking the foundations from which these people think that they act to show you're not. You're not here at all. And we want to, again, what was coming out during this week as if this far right was going to do people a favor. It was going to be a betterment of democracy, so-called. You find out democracy is a fraud. It's used as a whipping post. It's used to put us under, lull us into sedation and apathy. Remember, this was shocking to me. I can't imagine nowadays, even this other stuff, without, you know, cancel culture bringing up reparations for black folks. I thought we worked that out in the 60s. Literally, I thought we worked that out. And yet they want to reform it. Why? Because they probably did work it out. And if we just followed the objective basis and stop attacking each other, and just minded our own business on what we want to get done in the world and not violate it, not trespass people, keep your business to yourself like Netanyahu orders. And so we get to say, yeah, Netanyahu, keep your business to yourself. All your Pegasus and Predator software and all your other stuff. Keep it out of everyone else's business. Oh, that's a problem now. Members of the Knesset, Israel's Knesset, introduced a bill to make Christian evangelism a crime. Members of the Israelis Knesset introduced a bill to make Christian evangelization a crime. You heard it. I was shocked. I can't believe that. This is like Ukraine going after the Orthodoxy. I don't even know what to say. But here we are again. Wow. Just wow. I don't even know if I want to read more. They literally have a bill, that had a bill, I have to know. Throw the punchline out there. What does it take to overthrow this stuff? Who are the people that interpose? Who do you go look to interpose? Because a bill proposed by Israel's Jewish supremacy government would punish Christians with jail for proselytizing. If that wasn't bad enough, the definition of proselytism includes something as simple as talking about Christianity with a Jew. And the point here is the observation is made, pray the persecuted Christians and pray for the persecuted Christians in Palestine, opening up a whole other thing. Palestinians aren't just Arabs, they're Christians. Lots of people believe lots of things. It's the story of mankind. And so when you deny a landed people, you really are exposing yourself. And this right-wing Knesset that is attempting to restructure the government to put them in power absolutely turned around and said, we're going to go after Christians. Hey, I understand the story, a Jewish Christian who is outspoken was showing that he could not speak no more. Now, for all those of you that believe this Judeo-Christian in Zionist orthodoxy, you better relook at this real quick. Because they've garnered your support and influenced you to support these folks all this time. And the Republicans have been on the front line of that as well as Democrats. Everyone coddles to this, even though there's no real power in it. There's power in the numbers. There's a lot of money in this group of people. Well, that's not watching out for the many, is it? No. Antichrist Israel introduces bill to punish Christians with jail time for proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, you can read these stories. I've read through them. I thought it was fake. And it's not. This right-wing group believes they are exceptionalism, the chosen, and they can deny whomever they want and exalt themselves by any means. It's not democracy, first of all. It's certainly not a Jewish orthodoxy, and it's not certainly not a Christian if they're attacking you. But it's interesting to watch, under color of democracy, a group of people running a political agenda, getting favor by the world, for the most part up until now, and continually in the politics of the United States, actually doesn't like the Judeo-Christian linkage, which is a fraud anyway. If you look carefully, the chosen were not the type of chosen that are being promoted. And they were not the type of creatures that would gain favor as we watched a certain creature run over the mountain and drown itself. There's a whole different story to read. Barring that, if I just look at their deeds, there's a whole different story to read. We're not dealing with a mentally stable group of people who is all-inclusive. And we see, although they come under the color of it. All right, so Christ Israel introduces bill to punish Christians. It's not Judeo-Christian at all, if you thought there was that. It's a deed that we can count on. And I went down and tracked down the video. I have to go to YouTube, even though I've been trying to avoid YouTube like the plague. COVID swindle. A proposed legislation would outlaw talk about Jesus in Israel. Presented by Newsmax and David Cohen, you can just listen to the news report. But then there's the text. Full text, read the English translation of the newly proposed legislation to outlaw sharing the gospel message in Israel. Aside the religion, it's not free speech then, is it, either? And so we're not supporting the democracy. Democracy is not attached to our notions of constitutional rights, either. We do that, well, maybe because we're only using the less than the neurons of a baby fly, but at any rate. They outlaw free speech and the freedom of practice of religion is not the reflection of the United States, but is. When we hear like transgenders doing the Day of Vengeance against Christians. I don't know how that connected up, except I'm just thinking that we have abused people that are mentally disturbed, do not have the proper help that they need, and so they're going to take it out on somebody. And they've identified, in this time, Christians. And their Day of Vengeance, maybe they're not so crazy. Someone looked at that and the optics didn't quite look good. So they've called that off, folks. So, everybody can tone down a bit, I think. The transgenders representing the protection of what happened in Nashville are not going to have their Day of Vengeance in D.C., as they declared. Is this mental instability that goes on. We really have to start focusing on that's in these people as well. There's no consistency. It's about what do I want? What might the future do I want? And to Hades with everybody else. But the law of nature says that's going to fall on their head hard. Okay, you can read it, though. Like I said, I'm just going through these tabs. There's so much to talk about in getting in deep. I guess we could have philosophical decisions, but this is just acts that are not, if you will, democratic, and what everyone thinks is a democracy is not. Their deeds are telling us what's going on. Their deeds are telling us why maybe the people are rising up. All this shows weaknesses before the world in their diplomatic side. The diplomats of which were the first to shut down as far as the function of the government, the real function. You can't speak to nations and protect yourself and your interest if you're not having a diplomat to do so. Watch how this works, folks. Watch what you have may have as a tool in your countries when you understand that you are a nation unto yourself. You have a limit. You can mutually agree to work with people. You then have this overriding civil government. There's about four jurisdictions that you work within, and you can have an influence on that civil government. And how to do that. And there's techniques on how to do that. There's principles, good principles, that I can say that Christians brought forth for a long time. That worked. That's how the United States is said, even though it was a deist condition. It can be said that whatever notion of God you had, or nature's God, or nature, it was these principles that came that helped to make order and peace, which have completely been thrown off, which weren't to attack anybody, ultimately. You see it in the Constitution when the Confederation, the Articles of Confederation were disposed for some reason, I don't know, but to make the more perfect union, which was really the peace treaty compromise. Don't underestimate the ongoing debt that we didn't qualify to the Netherlands, as I keep bringing that up, but here, the change, the attack, you don't have the right of free religious expression in Israel. It's not a democracy that I understand, regardless of any ideas that I would have had one way or the other. But you can read it. It's not something that I'm taking any credit for to say. This is there. I'm still shocked. Why would you even go down there? But they did, and that's the other tale. Evangelical Christians urged Netanyahu to scuttle ultra-Orthodox bill banning Christian proselytizing. It's not Orthodox. They brought Zionism into an orthodoxy like it's a religion. Well, in a way, politically, you can have a religion of the politics. It's a political movement. It has nothing to do with democracy. It has nothing to do with republics. It has nothing to do with people and protecting them. It has nothing to do with stopping oppression. It's an oppressor condition. It is a reflection of the United States right now in the administration of the government and its overrepresentation of these people. What did it take to stop this one? It took the evangelical Christians to interpose, the pastors, to step up and tell Netanyahu, I think you might want to reconsider this. The law particularly names Christians, but would apply to anyone trying to convince someone to change their religious beliefs. Evangelical backing is crucial, according to Netanyahu and his allies, as American Jews grow increasingly critical of Israel's rightward turn. It's really not a rightward turn. It's just that the right word is going in that direction, is now making itself known. It's always been there. It just couldn't convince people enough. And now it went to the bridge too far, possibly. They jumped way too far. What I thought Comey Swindle was going to do, we didn't see it here. But they've done that. And the people are responding. Leading evangelical Christians are publicly urging Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to scuttle legislation introduced by the ultra-Orthodox members of his coalition that would punish Christians' attempts to solicit conversion with imprisonment. Enough said on that. It took people to interpose what was right against something that was wrong. Again, this was not one individual. This was a group. It was a coming as a mass against a wrongness, an interposition against a wrongness. And what happens? They remove it. But where was the Zio-loving ADL or SPLC against this prohibition of Christianity in that bill? Nothing. Crickets. They will not respond, and we know why, because they are that right-wing voice. They are what's guiding the impressions of the United States, the people of the United States, over their standards of what's right. Their standards don't agree with any religion other than the Zionist politics as an orthodoxy. Again, the Orthodox Jews are becoming critical, as we've pointed out behind which over and over again. But where was the ADL and the SPLC, the pinnacle of our hate crime views and how who's supposed to do right and wrong? Nothing. Nothing against that. So you think about a Judeo-Christian connection. No, it doesn't exist. They know it. And they tried to go down there. I'm glad that it happened because I hope people see that's a fraud. That's a cover. That's a color of agreement. It never was intended. And we see their acts there are getting more and more outrageous, more and more destabilizing. I think, again, to me, it just looks like more and more of a mental illness. When you start to cut people out, the sanctions in the United States without going to diplomacy, yeah. When you start cutting people out, it starts to show a mental incapacity. Maybe you're not using as many neurons as the baby fruit fly. Maybe you have a misconnection in those neurons. Maybe you're just got to come together with an abuse in your mind that makes you feel like you have to vengefully attack, claiming everybody a victim and everyone's a potential enemy. But you have to, they haven't realized yet, apparently the world sees that as a defect. And for the Arab world, relative to the landed Palestinian, that's not flying that far. That starts to come out as well. Where we hear this, not just now going after the Christians, proposed and then cut down. Why? Because an interposition happened. People with a say was able to convince, influence someone who was in the wrong and convince them of that wrongness. Not so much so on your the Supreme Court, because the Knesset will pick that up later. But on this, apparently, it's cut it out. It may resurface, like lots of bad legislation tends to. They just keep pushing on you, until they get it. That was the failure of democracy, if you will, in this process. When you didn't also have to drop your life to go counter a lobbyist, lobbying a legislator of your life. None of this was supposed to be so complicated, but someone figured out how. Israel finance minister in charge of West Bank settlements claims Palestinians do not exist. And if you just have to extend that to everything you watch that's cancel culture. They claim you don't need to exist. This is coming out of Israel, though. The same people that want to criminalize being a Christian or proselytizing the faith. Israel finance minister, of all things. Born in the 80s. Okay, we know now the product of that. But he claims Palestinians don't exist. They do not exist, folks. Did you know that? The Israel finance minister has a history of making incendiary comments about Palestinian people. Most recently, he called for the wiping out of the Palestinian city, Huwara. I just end there. You can read these stories. It's a shock. Just wow. Why would you even say that? But it's because it's in him. This is his indoctrination in Zionism. That's what they believe. That's what they're... He's not... incendiary. Yeah, he's just talking what's in his mind. He's being honest. But look at what he's being honest about and what they want to do. Israel minister claims there's no such thing as Palestinians. Another story. Bezalel Smotrich has alleged the notion of separate people is an invention that is less than 100 years old. There's no such thing as Palestinian history or culture, and the Palestinians are not a legitimate ethnic group, Israel Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich has claimed, the hardline politician who is tasked with hardline is Zionist politician who is tasked with the administration of occupied West Bank, made the inflammatory remarks on Sunday during a visit to France. We can read more. You do talk about, Smotrich was speaking at a memorial commemorating Jock Kupfer, a prominent Zionist and activist with the right-wing Likud party, who died in 2021. Enough said there. Also, the problem was he was speaking in front of the greater Israel map, which includes Jordan and other places, and the king of Jordan demanded the diplomat that was there at that time, because it happened just before, to come in and talk to him about why would you say there's no Palestinians, and I think it is his wife, the queen, is from the land of Palestine. But this is what you watch what they do. Watch what they're saying here, but watch what they're doing. He's in the ministering an occupied territory. They call that the settlements. Well, folks, if we just think about basic stuff, how is it settled when it was settled before, if they didn't already suggest Palestine didn't exist? No, the people of the Palestine land had it settled. I know that by the orchards of olives that are being destroyed. Ancient orchards destroying production is a war crime, folks. Why doesn't people call this out? I've been mentioning it over decades now. Palestinian PM, this is big news. I didn't hear anything. But I'm bringing it up because it's showing a real problem that festering in the United States as well as reflections of a lot of this. In cancel culture, you start to see a bit of it. Palestinian PM, Israel's minister, inflammatory marks, signs of racist Zionist ideology. Not a religion, not an orthodoxy, an ideology. It's a Zionist promotion, political promotion. It's what they want. This is written more from the Iranian perspective, if I understood this story. Palestinian Prime Minister has strongly condemned the latest remarks of a far-right Israeli minister who said Palestinians do not exist as a nation, describing them as evidence of a regime's racist ideology. I've talked a lot about how we would find out about this. I've talked a lot about the land, the property, and the title. But if we get into the biblical side of this, not the civil, but the biblical, Israelites weren't limited to Judah. They were all the 13 now, the sons and then the grandsons, I think it was, 13 different nations there that were part of the Palestine lands. They were the Israelites, not Israelis, from Israel, not Abraham, another deception. To say that there's no Palestinians is a cancel culture appropriation. It's appropriation of a culture by someone who has no right and title to it. By the Zionist politics. Fascinating what they do, what they'll claim. But people are observant of this, and I want us to be observant of it, because we have to be observant in our nation for these same deceptions. You want to be a free man on the land? You don't exist. There's no land. You'll have no property and like it, remember? This agenda is already running. Does it look sound familiar? I hope so. Inflammatory. Boy, it's beyond inflammatory. I almost appreciate the low tenor of this statement. To say that a whole people, types of people don't exist, the Palestinian, the people of Palestine is not Palestinian, necessarily that way, in Gaza, although those people are included, you're going to find out they included the Christians, the Arabs, the Jews. And I just said anti-Semitism in another form. If the Christians and Jews and the Arabs are in the land of Palestine, and those folks are Semitic, what this guy is talking about to say you don't exist is anti-Semitic. If you start to grab the way that language is contorted to create deceptions, to create the perception management that keeps us off a point, that just riles me a bit. Really, it's what I focus on. Where is the point missed? At least as the best as I can understand it. Then we get the contrition, if we can call it that. This guy is dead to rights wrong here because of the outcry and the identification, and they went a bridge too far. They expose themselves. And you need to never forget this stuff. Israel Smotrich says call to wipe out Palestinian town was a slip of the tongue. Okay, and it wasn't. That's what he meant. But then he recognizes the Palestinian town from a place called Palestine they don't recognize. Talk about hypocrisy and deception. If the lands of Palestine exist, people live there. And they weren't just of one persuasion, one belief. They were actually all the people that Israel wants to take out in favor of their movement. Well, I'm hoping the people there, regardless of their persuasion, realize that's the bridge too far. And then Nasrallah's voice comes in my mind. They may be in some real trouble as to the existence of this, can I call it a state yet? Usurpers, occupy, agree they're occupying. They deny settlement by saying they're settlement. When I'm realizing they're destroying olive trees of thousands of, potentially thousands of years. I didn't witness that number, but I'm told in history it was there. And these were long-standing, long family possessions that were destroyed by these people because they don't think those people exist. That's pretty convenient, don't you think? How'd they get the people there? It's amazing what the people are doing, actually, in Israel to even resist however side they do. The IDF ran illegal Gaza PSYOP. They keep the people controlled like the U.S. military does the people of the United States or U.K. or Kyrgyzstan. Or China, or Russia, all of them. Israel's military has admitted it made a mistake by targeting civilians in an effort to shore up the support for its 2021 campaign, taking a toll. It's all a promotion, what these folks, there's no ethics, there's no morality in it. It's just whatever justifies the end. I see this no different in relation, like the carnival mirror of Syria on the United States, that Israel, what's going through, is going on in the United States, and giving us ideas on how we can address it. It's not a one-dimensional response, is all I can tell you. I don't want to go off on that. I've said enough over and over on that. It was going to take a lot of skills and talents to get the control that we need to live a life that's not looking at the next shooting, execution, the next claim of fame which doesn't exist, the next infringement upon someone's rights, whether their name is Trump or other people. It is a big problem that they went after a president, but not because of if he's a criminal and it's a plausible due process that a grand jury said, that's the system. He has to face that. It's not that he's the president. But it is, well, we see that there may be evidence, at least right now, circumstantially, that it's a political hit. That's a total different thing. It has nothing to do with those criminal charges or the wheels of justice, so-called. It's a usurpation. It's an oppression. It's been on you, whether you recognize that, because at least the two-tiered system, which I said last week, explains that we have a problem. But no one really wants to address all that. And I say that conditionally now. I now know there's a group of 30 or so people who are trying to address that part of that. And more power to them after I saw what was going on. They've actually taken old study I did, and there's been more information. They're actually applying it, folks, as I tell you. Knowledge is not enough. Learning how to apply it is important. Far-right Israel minister threatens to reoccupy and recolonize Gaza. His words, reoccupy, occupied people, and colonize. They're a colony state. They're a colonization state. The world is seeing this now, and I can only thank God, I guess, here. I don't know who else to thank, but it's finally coming out. There are oppressors that need to be called out. Doesn't matter what you think you believe, what your beliefs are, when they're there, the mental illness will affect you in ways you never thought, to the point that you don't exist no more. Does that say something about the men and women in the United States that don't have a voice? It's the same model. I'm just reading the title. They agree they're occupying force and they are a colonizer. Astonishing if we think they came from the Holocaust. Astonishing if we thought that was what the story actually was. Just completely mind-blowing. They've adopted the same tactics as the people they complained of made them victims. They really didn't, because this was a long, old movement of people that believe they're above everybody else. They are the law, and they're trying to show you today that they're going to try and make it so, and yet there's an interposition that can be made, but there's a higher law, and we're not going to allow you to breach that or broach it. far-right Israel minister for the settlement, the recolonization, the reoccupy. U.S. thwarts U.N. resolution in Israel, showing now we're going to find the hypocrisy of what democracy does, where you have dual citizens working in both. The United States thwarts the U.N. resolution of Israel about the statement of settlements reportedly downgraded due to pressure from the American officials. That's that report I read that the United States stepped in to protect this occupation and protect this colonizer, protect the government that wants to attack, persecute Christians, attack the people of Palestine, which included the Jews themselves, the Orthodox, the real Orthodox Jews, the Palestinian people, the Arabs, and the Christians. Well, Arabs should be maybe more Muslim. There could be Zoroastrian and all this other. There's other religions if we go there. But then the Christians, they all live there, folks. It wasn't the Zionists. But U.S. thwarts U.N. resolution. Well, if the United States is occupied by this dual mentality, which is an insanity, then you would not expect different. That it's admitted that they're doing this, and the United States supports it, does not explain well why the government would also come out, the United States, to say it was extremely troubled over the Israeli law. United States thwarts the ability to interject and stop oppression and land theft, but it only says that it's extremely troubled over the Israeli law that's now been suspended. The newly approved bill is inconsistent with promises to ease tensions with the Palestinians, a senior State Department official said. Oh, it's a policy decision. Inconsistent with promises to ease tensions. The existence of the people of the Zionists is what causes the tension. But we hear that they're extremely troubled. But as I've offered before, where Netanyahu says to Biden, keep your business, your nose out of our business, Biden could have said, well, why don't you just keep your businesses out of our business and get rid of all your surveillance technology? How about we just pull back all that money we give you? How about we're more than extremely troubled? We want to sanction you for thieving people's property and causing the tensions. Do we hear that? No, we just hear the United States is extremely troubled. We just hear that they are going to go ahead and allow the settlements to happen in the UN. We're not going to see any interposition whatsoever on a better answer to reduce tensions. That is the insanity that we see the West purporting to cause to be the rules of engagement in the world. However, where it's extremely troubling to watch oppression and death and destruction and apartheid and all these other terrible things, colonization of a people, of their own lands, war crimes, I'm telling you, you interfere with someone's production, with their resources, that's a war crime. I talked about this a decade ago or so. Washington, instead of stopping the oppression there and the tensions that Israel itself causes, the world's watching that. Washington unveils new plan for Iran sanctions. No, we don't go after an oppressor. We go after someone we've identified to be a threat to us, and there's no real evidence of that. In fact, we have a treaty. It just came out. We have a treaty with Iran that was supposed to be a friendship treaty, and we weren't supposed to steal their money, their $1 billion. It was just determined. No, we don't work that way. We're going to sanction these folks. At least one citizen of Turkey, a NATO member, has also hit with economic penalties. No, we just go over the club, an economic club, no less. The United States has announced another round of sanctions on Iran, targeting the alleged procurement network for drones and ballistic missiles as Washington continues to accuse Tehran of supplying weapons to Russia forces in Ukraine, Russia of which, saying this, you're sitting there, your coup became an existential threat to us. So the United States goes and puts sanctions on Iran as if it's working some equitable case and it can go collect against the agents of an equitable breach. In fact, they're causing the breach. And the breach is being caused by the administration of these people that would say that your Christian religion needs to be criminalized, that your Muslim religion needs to be criminalized, that you don't exist. That even the people that we would purport to cover, which are Orthodox Jews, don't really exist either because we're just ignoring them. We don't care that they don't care, that they have a problem with us. We don't care. We're going to move our agenda forward. and we're so exceptional, we're going to show you. And then the interposition, showing us another example of how this dynamic works. At some point, the train of abuse must stop and someone must step up and properly respond. And if it's more than one, then it's more than one. If it's a group, then that's fine. That's what we must do. Iran slams Israeli minister's racist remarks about Palestine after the United States puts the sanctions on. They're pointing out now, this is the weakness of the United States position, as China will be stepping up into that role of being the better mind, the more rational mind. Iran points out, you can put sanctions on us, but look, you got a guy, people that you support that are actually doing the occupations. And so the West is in a very precarious position, and it's not going to go well relative to the West's agenda, if you will. The world is not going to put up with it. As we then see the designs of this world, developing world at war, the war of terror done by the United States, that it's looking for a war, it's looking to plan a war. We have open letter from U.S. military leaders on arming Israel to prevent a nuclear Iran. No, we don't sanction Iran, Israel for its oppression and its wrongful settlements, and it's wanting to attack the Christian religion and been attacking the Muslim faith. Finds everybody a threat to them because they're the exceptional people who have the right to take all their technology and get into our business. Even telling the United States, you keep your business, your nose out of our business. No, our U.S. military wants to arm Israel to prevent a nuclear Iran. Says at some point here, maybe they're going to agree that they have nuclear weapons, like Turkey has been given, in order to allow this to open up. No, we don't sanction Israel. We go after someone who's actually not that threat, who we're supposed to have a friendship treaty with, who we steal billions from, and have that we have no right to do that. If we can agree that there was a ICC has any statement to say, and I think if you see what their reasoning was, it makes some sense. Whether they have jurisdiction or not, it's a different question. Iran reminds the West of its other Iraq war crime, giving Saddam Hussein chemical weapons. The United States is sitting in such a weakened position by its failed policy, by this blind rage of victimization and protection in the world by the dual citizen influence, that Iran and China and Russia can start pointing out all the inconsistencies. And we can reread about that, Colin Powell and the sloppy dossier, plagiarism and the fake intelligence used to justify the 2003 war on Iraq, copied and pasted from the internet into an official British intel report, as we find out it was all set up, again, an intel report that was not validated, to bring perception management, to get everybody in a fervor, make them lose their minds so that we would go to war and institute the war of terror upon us while we made it look like we're fighting a terrorism elsewise. This is the movement. This is the deception. Israel is an example of what starts the destabilization and what it takes to destabilize a country of people. I think we need to take notes of that and turn that destabilization potential to the United States that's being overthrown from within and work where you can. Don't work from an opinion. Work from an objective basis and work from your skills to help bring back, keep the republic, if you will. If you would allow that, get us back to a set foundation. Hope something I said helps you. I hope you can use this information in your day-to-day lives at some point, if you're not doing it quite yet. And I'll be with you next week, Tech Diffs, where nature will.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
That's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.